Blog Talk Radio.
Shout out to Adrian Adonis. Yeah. This ain't no video game. Yeah. This life will only give you 1 year. I swear, my brothers, we are locked up in a brutal scene.
Damn.
Fuck underground, I'm thunderbound. Damn. So point the arrow now. Damn. I built the pyramids and rose the sun. So call me Pharaoh now.
Grab
that's just some food for thought. So take it like a protein.
Yeah.
I live in places that's so anti-black and pro-green.
Damn.
Money over Africans, but we ain't really Africans.
Damn.
Divide us like we fractions, so we won't reclaim our past again.
God
so
damn.
Tell your fucking pastor, Robin Master, take a class again.
Yeah.
Cause I'm gonna show these people there's no need for you to ask them.
Nah.
Just get up on your knees and talk to God. Don't worry about your sin. I'm telling you the truth, my words, my bond, and I can vouch for him. This light up in the tunnel, can't you see it? Use your glasses, damn. I'm tired of all my people. See, that's niggas with no action plan.
And
I didn't choose to rap. He just fell into a backup plan. So
yeah.
Let go so he can show you how he's built a master plan.
Yeah.
I rise with the sun.
I rise with the sun. Welcome, 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 welcome. This is Dr. Will Rogers, a.k.a. Master Teacher 33. And today is Tuesday, April the 18th, Tuesday, April the 18th of 2017. And the time is 12 noon Central Time. As always, we have another outstanding show scheduled for you today. As you know, I like to get right into the meat of the message. I know your time is valuable. I respect you and I respect your time, so I do not want to waste your time. I want to spend as much time revealing, explaining, illuminating, and simplifying the word of God, the word of Yahuwah and his son, Yahushua. So today, my sister's got a very, very important topic for you today. Just want to double check and make sure that the sound is okay. So, baby, if you can give me a thumbs up, the wife, maybe if you could just text me, let me know if you could hear me okay. So I have my wife tune in to make sure that the sound is coming through okay. Before we get started, we had a few hiccups a while back, and so I switched over to another venue. But if this venue can kind of work itself out, I will continue to use it. But if not, we'll go with the other venue. And so it looks like we're good to go. So it looks like the wife said that the sound is good. So all right, so we're going to rock and roll today. Today we got one of these terms, we got one of these topics, we got one of these shows. I thought I was being creative, coming up with a new term or a new phrase called apathyology. So kind of like the word theology, I wanted to combine the words apathy and the word ology and come up with apathyology, which simply means selective caring. And the dark side of my gift, which has almost destroyed my life, is apathyology or caring too much. So today I want to talk about this because I see that 99% of the people that I talk to have the same problem. And this problem is a mask. It is a coping mechanism for another unconscious problem. So the problem isn't that we care too much. The problem is that the reason why we care too much. As I talk about on every show, I'm not interested in what you do. I am more interested in why you're doing it. So today we want to talk about selective caring. This is something you have to master or you cannot be successful. So this is really for my private group, which is the Clarinomic Temple Building DNA. Now, people ask me all the time, not all the time, but a lot of times. So I do my evening show at 7 that is for the private group that I don't share with the non-paying members. But I share this information with the public that's a part of the private information. And so the reason why, now remember, never ask what, always ask why. Never ask what, always ask why. Never ask what, always ask why. So why am I sharing the art of selective caring or apathyology with the general public when it's for my private audience. The reason why is to give the general public a taste of what they're missing by not being a part of the Clarinomics Temple Building private audience. Now, people think, because they don't understand the value that's being a part of the Clarinomics program. Now, I've encouraged all the members of the Clarinomics program to tune into the free information as well, because everybody has this problem. Now, the reason I know is because selective caring, or caring too much, is a coping mechanism for fear. It's a coping mechanism. See, you cannot apply yourself to what you should be doing when you're already busy doing something else. See, I can't take care of my own job when I'm helping you take care of your job. See, I cannot be successful in my own life when I'm saving you, even though you don't need saving, when I'm helping you. Now, see, I got to make sure that you understand, because this is, man, this is awesome. When you see how you spend your time, how you are just wasting your life away doing stuff that's really a mask for what you should be doing, it's going to change your entire life. So today we want to talk about selective caring. What is really worth caring about? What should you be putting your time and your energy and your money into? And why is this so important? And we really, really want to tone in or hone in or focus in on understanding 10 keys to this ideal of apathyology, or caring too much. So let's jump in. First of all, we have to define the terms or the definitions of the words. So since apathyology is not a word, that's just something that I made up. But the word apathy is a word, and the word ology is a word. Now, ology, O-L-O-G-Y, means based upon words. So apathy, so what is, let me make sure I'm pronouncing it correctly. Apathy, A-P-A-T-H-Y. So apathy is the absence of, or the suppression of, passion. It is the suppression of emotion. It is the suppression of excitement. Apathy is a lack of interest. Apathy is a lack of concern for things. Apathy. So apathy, again, comes from a Greek word that's inside the Helios Biblos called pathos, P-A-H-O, or pathy. So pathos means indifference. It means coolness. It means unfeeling. So apathyology means that it is a feeling of indifference that comes from words. There are certain words that I can use that make you feel a unfeeling. It makes you feel indifference. It makes you feel without feeling. So it means freedom from suffering. The original text in the Latin and in the Greek word, it means impassibility. It means without feeling or without suffering. So apathy means without emotion. It's interesting that emotion is equated to suffering. So caring equals suffering. So the more you care, the more you suffer, according to the original text. So when we understand what this is implying, there is an art of caring. So if I care about a serial killer, and this serial killer is going around killing people, and I care, I have emotions, I'm to this serial killer. So now that we know what apathy is, we have to understand what the opposite of apathy is, or the definition of this word caring. Because I'm saying that I care. Now, as a Life Path 6, that's my, I'm designed by the universe to do this. So the dark side of my gift is I do this at the expense of my own success. So I care so much that it destroys me. So I have to find balance in my caring. Now, yours, because if you're not a Life Path 6, your caring manifests itself in the area of your life path. Now, what do I mean? Well, let's define the word care. Now, the word caring is a state of mind in which one is troubled. Caring is a state of mind in which one has a worry. Caring is a state of mind in which one has anxiety. Hold up, time out. I thought caring was a good thing. The Bible tells us not to do worry, not to do fear, not to do doubt, not to do unbelief. Not to do, but the Bible didn't say anything about not caring. It tells us that we should not worry about what we shall eat or what we shall drink. So let's make sure we understand this word. Let's go down to the bottom of the page and get the true original origin of this definition of care or caring. So when we go down, the word care or caring means to be anxious, to grieve, to feel concern or interest. It means to lament, L-A-M-E-N-T. So the word care actually is a negative term. Let me say that again, because I have heard and I've been told, and people say, man, you don't care about me. Well, actually, I'm not supposed to care about you. I should not be anxious. I should not be grieving. I should not be worrying. I should not have this certain. Now, I've always associated the word care with love and compassion. The word care, again, it means grief. It means burden of the mind. Care comes from an old German word, which means to lament, L-A-M-E-N-T, or lament. Now, the word lament means to express sorry, to express regret, to feel sorry for somebody. Now, let me make sure you understand the curse of being a 6, or the dark side of my gift. Now, I'm going to get to your gift. We're going to go through each one of the gifts here in just a second. So that way you can understand. Now, it's inside of your Dear Kinnear report. Every gift has a strength and it has weaknesses. So I don't care what your strength is, there is a dark side to giftedness. Now, I've done many, many, many shows that talks about the dark side of giftedness. But everybody, because we live in a society that tells us we should care about the elderly, we should care about pets, we should care about saving the whales, we should care about, you know, hugging trees, we should care about young women who can be manipulated into getting abortions, we should care. Nobody gave me the definition of the word. My whole life path number is based upon caring. At least that's what I thought. Until the universe, till God told me, Negro, you cannot operate at a high level, as I talked about yesterday, as long as you care. I didn't understand. I'm going to break down these 10 things, but I need to make sure you understand the definition. Because we just talked about apathy. Now, we know what that means. So apathyology is this is my theology. My theology is apathyology. What's really worth caring about? Because, see, I've been controlled because I didn't know that apathy is the frosting that you put on your caring cake. I didn't know because I care too much. So every problem in my entire life that I've ever had is because I've always cared too much because I'm a 6. I didn't understand. And so now that I'm operating at a higher level, this understanding is crystal clear. Because, see, let me show you the dark side of the giftedness of all the numbers. Number one, if you're a life path number one, that means that you're here on earth. Your strength is you are an independent individual. You are a leader. You walk the path less traveled by as a life path number one. Problem, what is the dark side of being a leader? The dark side of being a leader is what we are discussing today. You're a lone wolf. You don't listen to nobody. You don't take no advice. Your skull is thick because in your world, you're right. You're always right, and most of the time you are. So the thing that also makes you great is also the thing that makes you weak. So the enemy doesn't use your weaknesses against you. He uses your strength, as I've learned, as I've told you guys when I worked in a Supermax prison. The inmates told me, man, we just want to find what you're good at. So inmates, bad people, the devil, he just watch you. And he say, man, this guy is a good talker. So he just use your speech against you, get you to talk too much. If you're a good leader, he gets you to lead too much, number one. So if you're a life path number two, you have the natural ability to heal or to comfort. You're a peacemaker. That's what the number two represents. You naturally have balance. And so, again, if you are two, instead of creating peace, what's the dark side of creating peace? It's lethargy. You don't do shiznit. You just lay around. You don't take no action because, again, the number two is a number where you have this ability to comfort. Now, comfort is ease. So when you find somebody that's a two, it's called a peaceful phlegmatic. One of my brothers is a two. This dude will do anything to avoid conflict. I mean anything. Lie, steal, cheat. He will do anything to avoid conflict. So that's the dark side of his gift. So he has to know that about himself. If he don't, he will find himself being a coward. He will find himself doing what he do to me all the time. The dude will come to town, and I will see him, and I will call him, and I will say, hey, bro, you in town? No, man. So you're not in? I just saw the dude. But because he don't have time to swing by, all he got to do is say, yeah, bro, I'm here in town, man, but I'm here on business. I don't have time to swing by, man. I'll catch you next time. He won't say that. So the dark, I already know that, so I make room for that. So I don't hold that against him. But you need to know that because that's going to prevent you from being successful. So if you're a two, you have to know that you can't lie to people for the sake of avoiding conflict. You got to tell people the truth. You got to be authentic. What about a three? If you're a life path number three, threes are the most self-expressive. They are like free spirits. They are very creative. I'm a three. That's the sub number of the number six, 3 plus 3. I'm a 33. So I have that aspect too. So I got this problem too. So threes, because we are so creative, we don't understand why everybody else ain't. So as a three, we like to express ourselves. And when we're around somebody else, I joke with my wife all the time. I tell my wife is not a three. She's a slow, what I call a slow processor. So I'm a spur of the moment dude. I would get up, no plan, no nothing, and I would wake up on a Saturday morning, and I would say, babe, let's drive to Dallas. My wife said, babe, Dallas is freaking 6 to 8 hours away. Yeah, what? So what? My wife is a four. She's a planner. That ain't on the plan. Schedule it. What about gas money? What about the kids? Where we going to stop? Who cares? Let's just do it. So a three, we are very expressive and we are very creative. And so this creative aspect of us, and we have this ability to communicate. So we create good and bad. Now, as a three, now I'm getting ready to do a show Saturday where I'm going to write a book in 1 hour live. Where did that idea come from? It just popped in my head. I'm a three. I create. I come up with all kinds of shiznits. Now, this is going to be a great success or it's going to be a huge failure. I don't really care. I'm a three. That's what we do. Now, my wife, she's like, I ain't planned it. I ain't organized it. I ain't doing it. because that's a different. Now, I cannot make her feel bad for not being as creative as I am. I'm a three. She's not. So the dark side of being a three is we are hypercritical. We criticize and we freaking complain. We are super negative because why? We just want everybody to create like us. Well, everybody is not a natural communicator. My wife, this is how she communicates. Babe, how was church today? The sermon was great. Okay, what else, babe? It was great. Well, what was the sermon topic? Oh no, it was good. People were shouting and everything was great. You should have, if you'd have came to church, you'd have saw it. You'd have been there. So my wife is not as communicative. So she's a four. Speaking of number four, fours are logical, practical. So what is the dark side of a four? Ooh, dedicated. Man, my wife just pulled off a surprise wedding for her mother and father. 3 months, this woman was dedicated, pulled it off. She basically funded the whole thing. Y'all know how much a wedding costs? My wife funded the freaking whole thing by herself. She did it by herself. I don't know. I still don't know. Nobody in the family knows. People flew in from California, family members. Everybody's trying to figure out. My wife's mother and father just like, man, you should have saw her mom. It was the greatest thing. I don't know how my wife did it. Her mom was just blown away. You should see the video. She was crying and crying. Her mother is still thanking her and trying to figure out how in the hell she was. When my wife latches on to something, it's a wrap. But the problem is, when my wife latches on to something, it's a wrap. Her greatest strength is also her liability. Why? Because my wife takes care of everybody. So sometimes I feel like a pole lost critter because she ain't at home. She's out saving the world. And she's a master 22. She's just not a regular four. She's a 22. Now, I don't know if you know about the master numbers. That means that they got a double portion. Remember Elijah, one of them, says that he said to God, I want a double portion. That's what a master number means. A master number means that we got a little extra cray-cray. Everybody just got a little cray, but a master number, you got cray-cray. You got a little dose of, you got two helpings of crazy. Now, I know I'm a 33. I got like three helpings of crazy. So the negative part of being a number four, now I have to know this. I have to know that my wife is totally dedicated. She's totally loyal. That is why what I did hurt her so much, because that's not even in her vocabulary. She doesn't understand disloyalty because she is a stable, foundational person. That's the problem, though. What if she is stable and foundational to the wrong stability? This inability to disconnect. So she has to know that that is the dark side of her giftedness, which leads to life path number five. Now, the number five is, again, these are the adventurers, similar to the three. So threes, we talk about it. Fives? Oh, man, fives, they get up and do it. Now, my daughter's a five. And I told my daughter when she had a stationary business, it was doing okay. But she wasn't happy. So I said, Shawty, why don't you make your dance studio a mobile dance studio? Now, I was just talking to a client today. And this client has a massage business, and she's not happy. This client is also a five. So know what I told the client? Make it a mobile massage studio. Now, I guarantee about 30 days, now next one-on-one, I'm going to talk to this client. And if this client did what I suggested, because she's a five, and if she take her business on the road, just like my daughter did, guess what's going to happen? My client's going to be very happy because that's part of her vibe and her makeup. So if you don't know that, now remember, we're still talking about it. I forgot the topic. I need you to understand, though, because, see, I'm talking about my specific dark side. So I need to make sure you got yours so you have your darkness in your brain while we go to why this is not allowing you to be successful. Now, I'm talking peak performance. Everybody's successful on this call. So now, you're already making, X amount of dollars. You want to max out. You're at 90%. You want to operate at 99.999%. That's what we're talking about today. So if you're a five, you are a freedom dude or dudette. You love freedom. The problem is with freedom comes no discipline, no self-discipline at all. You just fly off the seat of your pants. You have what is called escapism. Every five I know is an escape artist. Every five I know is a freaking escape artist. They got to have variety. They got to have change. My oldest daughter, man, compared to my middle daughter, it's like night and day. That girl went to every freaking prom. She was a freshman, she went to the senior prom. She was a sophomore, she went to the senior prom. She was a junior, she went to the senior prom. She was a senior, she went, she got 3, 4, 5 days. My other daughters, none of them went to the prom. My last daughter who's in school right now, and she's a junior. She ain't never been invited to the prom. She ain't a five. Fives, they create escape, a way to escape. Now, if you're a five, you need to write that down because you've been running all your life. You've been escaping reality instead of dealing with it. Fives need change, but fives are the greatest people of creating experiences, positive experiences, in not only their life, but other people's lives. If you got a five, fives are the life of the party. Got to have a five. But the dark side of being a five, you're an escape artist. Soon as the shiznits hit the fan, pew, you're gone. And a six, that's what we talked about. Now, everybody knows I'm a six. So as a six, a six is a responsible caregiver. I'm a 33, so that means I got the number six basically three times. I got three helpings of it. See, I got one dose, which is a three. I came back. Give me another dose. I got another dose, which is another three. Then they give me another dose, which is another three or three, three or nine. I got a number nine also. So what is the dark side of being a responsible caregiver? Now, remember the word care, contrary to popular belief. Now, I don't recommend you believe me. I recommend that you go to dictionary.com or any good dictionary and look it up for yourself so you can read it. The word care means a state of mind of being troubled, of being worried, and being anxious. That is the total opposite mindset that you got to have to be a one percenter, to be successful, to operate at peak performance. And so I'm wondering why I'm not operating at peak performance. I am wired to worry. I am wired to be anxious. I am wired to have anxiety. But guess how I express it? Because I have a core underlying belief. Why do I care? Is because I don't see value in me. I said, I'm a worthless poor critter. I'm going to go save you. I remember when I met my wife, I went to her apartment. She lived on the east side of San Antonio. That's the black side of town. I lived on the north side of San Antonio. That's the white side of town. So I told my wife, girl, I got to save you. She's like, from what? She said, you over here with black people. And you raising a family. I said, yeah, we doing good, actually. But in my brain, I packed up my wife. I made her leave her apartment, and we came over and moved over to the north side. Why? For what? It was the stupidest thing I ever did. So we went from paying our rent and everything, our living expenses freaking tripled. Because living on this side of town is way more expensive than living on the east side of town. But in my brain, hey, I had to save her. My wife didn't need saving. In fact, I moved in with her. She was in a better place than I was because she wasn't wasting money on freaking rent. But in my state of mind, I see trouble. In my state of mind, I worry. In my state of mind, I have anxiety. None of that crap would allow you to be successful. That is the dark side of being a six. So everybody who's a 33 and who's a six, they cannot apply. They are in the Clarinomics program, but they're not in the Clarinomics program. Why? Them suckers is too busy caring. Their capacity to care and be happy is for other people. They have no capacity to care and be happy for themselves. And it's crazy because I just watch them running around like a chicken with their head cut off. Why? I did the same thing. I didn't read it in the book. I didn't watch no damn movie. I freaking wasted 40, 50 years of my damn life, man, caring for people who don't like me. I try to take care of people who freaking don't like me, man. Do y'all understand what that means? I've been taking care of people who don't give a flying whether I live or die. Wasted time and wasted energy. Let me make sure you understand the depth of this. Because, see, I don't know if you really understand why you're not successful. Now, the dark side of your gift manifests when there's a core imprint that says, I don't deserve to be or to operate at my peak performance. It's called settling. See, you're operating at 80%. So you're like, hey, Brother Will, why should I push for 90? Well, the scripture says, be ye perfect, for I am perfect. That's why I'm pushing. The Bible tells me that we're supposed to run the race like we want to win. So to win, that means you got to come in first. That's the last time I checked, the winner gets the prize. That's what the Bible says to do. That's the way you should be living your life, brother. That's the only reason why I'm living my life. The Bible says that we should run the race as one who wishes to win. So let me make sure, because maybe we read in different Bibles. Because 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 23, if you got a scriptures at home, if you had them, write that scripture down because you need to check it out. 1 Corinthians 9:23 says, I do all this for the sake of the gospel, so that I may share in its blessings. Do you not know that in a race, all the runners run? So everybody, brother, everybody, sister, is operating at 80%. But only one receives the prize. So if everybody's operating at 1%, I'm coming to you and I'm telling you, hey, I need you in your space, whatever life path number you are, I need you to run this way. You say, well, what way, Doc, should I run? Because, see, right now, see, what I've been doing, I've been caring for everybody. I meet you, hey, come on in, dog. I want to take care of you. I ain't met a man. Do you know Will Rogers, the guy, the cowboy poet from Oklahoma? He has a quote. When I was a little kid growing up, white people used to always tell me, so your name is Will Rogers? And they would laugh, and I didn't know why they was laughing. I was a little kid. And then as I got older, white people used to keep telling me, oh, so you Will Rogers. Oh, you never met a man you didn't like. I'm like, what the they talking about? I met a lot of men I didn't like. And white people used to always tell me that. I didn't understand what the hell they was talking about. Oh, Will Rogers, you never met a man you didn't like. Then I Googled Will Rogers. He got an airport in Oklahoma City. There's a dude, he was a cowboy poet. And so I researched the dude. And then I looked at the name Will, and the reason why I went from calling my name Willie, which means dual nature or bipolar, I changed my name. I started calling myself Will, and all my bipolar symptoms went away. Because, again, man is name, and name is man. That's why in the Bible, God changed people's name. He changed Peter from Saul to Peter. He changed Abram to Abraham. He changed Sarah to Sarai. He changed people's names to change people's destinies. And so I started becoming less dual-natured and more caring. I think I may have got out of one frying pan and got in another one. Because now, like the name Will implies, it implies caring. That's what the name Will means, caring, one who cares. So that's why I had to go to my Hebrew name, Bethesda. That means one who builds temples. So now in my brain, all I hear is one name, Bethesda, Bethesda, Bethesda. That's my Hebrew name. So I connect with that because that's a more spiritual. So now I'm doing what? Building your temple. Because I changed my name. I didn't go down to no courthouse. I don't know. It's what my brain. Now remember, as I talked about on yesterday's show, if you could do those three things I talked about on yesterday's show, woo-wee, you about to blow up. I pray to God, especially if you're part of Claronomics Club, you listen to yesterday's show at least 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 times. Number one, forget your reality, focus on your mentality. We could stop there. I could preach that message again. But I got this message to preach today or to teach. Now, let me make sure you understand. Number one, we talked about yesterday, forget your reality. My reality, my name is Willie. Well, first of all, my mama changed my name 3 times. First, my name was Edmund. Then it was Willie. Then it was William. So I forget that reality, and now I focus on my mentality, my inner talk. My name is Betaziah, homie. So now that's the mentality that I have, Betaziah. So number two, I got a rookie mind, but I got a veteran heart. Then number three, that rookie mind produces desperation, but that veteran heart produces inspiration. So I'm in the inspiritas. Inspiritas in Latin means walking in the spirit of God. Come on, somebody. I don't know if y'all understand. So now, instead of walking around feeling sorry for everybody I meet, instead of walking around having anxiety, instead of walking around having a grief, instead of being burdened in my mind, man, I don't know if you could wrap your brain on how it feels. Now, I know somebody who could relate. I could bring Dr. Span on this show right now, and she could tell you. Dr. Span is probably sitting there with tears in her eyes right now. Because Dr. Span knows what it feels like. Oh, she's a 6 and a 33 like me. So is Sister Chantal and Sister Asia. They know what I'm saying is true. They know the burden that they feel because they can't let people go. Why did I stay 25 years, brother, 25 years in my first marriage when I should have never even got married? And I did something knowing on my wedding day, the girl that I was really in love with was there on my wedding day. And I went through with the wedding anyway. Why? Burden of the mind, the dark side of being a 6. See, 6s, we do shizness that we know we shouldn't do, but we feel. We feel a sense of lamentation. The word, now I got to talk about the 6s for a little bit because that's the foundation of today's show, because that's apathyology. Apathyology is a word that I coined up. That means, man, you got to be very careful if you're 6 or a 33. And all of the other numbers. I'm going to knock out 7 and the rest of them here in just a second. It means that you have a feeling of concern or interest that you ain't got shit to do with. Don't pardon my French. I meant to say it. See, caring is the reason why I don't curse. Because I care what other people think. The one thing I learned from my wife, man, my wife don't give up what other people think. She's respectful. But my wife ain't like me. My wife does not go in the wrong direction knowingly. I do, because I'm a 6. But the reason I do, because I feel like your direction, even though it's wrong, is better than my direction. 6 is a lack of self-esteem. Everybody who's a 6 and a 33, if you're a 33, man, ooh. Do you know that 33s have the most, everybody whose life sucks is a 33. 33, that means life of freaking calamity. It means that you have a life of a bunch of experiences. So when I meet somebody that's young and they're 33, the first thing I do is I tell they mate. I mean, when I met Sister Asia, I told Brother CJ, Brother CJ, strap in, brother. Now, I could bring Brother CJ on here and he'll tell you, bro, woo, I love my wife. I love my girl, man. She's a good girl. But now my wife, I can bring my wife on here. She'll tell you too, hey, I love my husband. He's a good man. But that but. See, the word 3 means you have a fondness for lamentation. You just a magnet for freaking cray-cray. So if I'm a 33 and if I'm a 6, that means I got to know that about myself and I got to freaking detach. That's the one word I got to have in my brain, detach, 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 detach. That's why I'm doing the show, selective caring. Now, I don't care for everybody like I used to. I will let you drop. Man, my old Eagles Club, drop them suckers like a bad habit. Why? I have to. Now, they don't understand. They all mad and pissed off at me. But I got to do what it says in 1 Corinthians 9:24 because I got to stand before God. I'm not going to stand before them. They're not going to judge me. God is. So 1 Corinthians 9:24 says, do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one receives the prize? Therefore, run in such a way as to take the prize. Run in such a way to take the prize, not to give it to somebody else. 1 Corinthians 9:25 says, everyone who competes in the games trains with strict discipline, unless you're 33 or 6. Then we help other people train. We don't train. It's the craziest thing. I live my freaking whole life. Do y'all understand what it's like to live your whole life helping other people? Everybody else finishing but you. Everybody else got a plate, but you ain't got no plate. Everybody else got nice clothes, but you ain't got no life. And you justify it. You tell yourself that, well, you know, I'm a poor creature. So therefore, it's okay if I let other people go before me. I've been a freaking doormat all my life. Them damn days is over with. Ain't no more doormat here, brother. And I'm not apologizing. Because now I'm competing in the game, and I'm training, and I'm disciplined. Focus, discipline in order. For me, not for nobody else. That's why I run the race, because I'm going to win. And I need you to run the race like you're going to win. Now, if you're number 7, you got a dark side too, bruh. You got a dark side too, sis. Guess the number 7. Now, number 7s, they're like 7-11. 7s and 11s, which are really 2s, they all got the same issue. See, these are spiritual gurus. They are truth seekers. They are intuitive. 7 is the number of knowledge, intuitive. So guess what? Oh, man, you meet a 7, you just met a very arrogant individual. See, 7s, they ain't got no tolerations for 6s. A 7, if you are a 6, the worst thing you can do is get with a 7. They're going to make you feel like dirt. Why? Because the 7s, they don't understand why you can't disconnect. The 7s, they know the truth. 7s have what I call a divine pipeline to God. Now, the problem is most 7s, they don't really listen to that small voice. But if a 7 ever slowed down and tuned in, there's not a problem on earth that a 7 can't solve. If you want to solve problems, talk to a 7. A 7, these people are just born with truth. They ain't got to go look for it like everybody else. They intuitively know it. They understand the meaning of life. They understand spiritual truth. They got a divine connection with the big G. But unfortunately, the dark side of 7, what the Bible says, with an increase of knowledge comes an increase of knowledge puffs up. See, love builds up. Knowledge puffs up. So if you see somebody walking around with a lot of air in their chest, posting a lot of stuff on Facebook, all of these quote-unquote facts and figures, that's a 7. They pride themselves on knowledge. What's the dark side of that? They pride themselves on knowledge. And they don't know why you ain't got none. A 7 will talk to you like you're a piece of trash, and they don't even know it. They're like, well, you don't get it? 2 + 2 = 4. I don't understand the problem. Why don't you understand it? That's a 7. And then that brings me to my 8. Oh, man, I love the 8. My youngest son is an 8. This dude, the power of the 8 is they are driven. They are self-motivated. They have an ability to see what pattern that produces the power. So they got personal power. I've never met an 8. Now, most 8s, they're driven, but they're driven in the wrong area. They got misapplied energy. They got unlimited energy. But unfortunately, their energy is in the wrong direction. Them suckers in the wrong purpose. I watched my son, man, that fool, man, since he was a little kid. I remember he used to take stuff apart, put it back together, and I'd just be amazed at Kenneth. Like, how do you, what? Dude, I spent a whole week putting your Christmas present together, and you took it down in an hour? I bought that fool a bike, I bought him a little freaking wagon. He took it apart. He was like 3. He was barely walking. He was taking stuff around. Man, he's an 8. But guess what the dark side of an 8 is? Do you know that Kendrick will stay in a room 3 days Won't shave. He won't shower. He just play driven. He just play video games. He has to beat the game before he quit. It's the craziest thing I've ever seen. This dude will go. Now, this is what got him into. Now he's the, you know, he's at the end, well, he was in the engineering program. Now he switched out. I guess he got bored. I don't know. This dude will buy a new video game, and he will not shower, change, eat, go to the restroom, do nothing. Y'all ever seen that movie about Howard Hughes? He used to piss in bottles and put them on the wall because Howard Hughes was so driven. I bet you Howard Hughes was an eight. I don't know, but I'm going to put my money on the fact that Howard Hughes was an eight. If you see an eight, see, eights and fours are pretty much the same. An eight is just two fours. So my wife has the same thing. She just don't have it to the extreme. But my wife is just as driven. My wife latch on to something and it's pretty much get out of her way because you're going to get ran over. And she ain't going to release it until it's done. That's an eight. But the dark side of the eight giftedness, sometimes they latch on to the wrong thing, or what if they ain't got nothing to latch on to? Them suckers don't do nothing. Eights will go through these bouts or these spirits or these periods where all this power that they got, it disempowers them. And then they start to disempower others. And then they get into this victim mentality, and then they end up being poverty. Do you know that in eight, the dark side of eight is poverty? If you see an eight ain't got no money, that's the dark side of their giftedness, because their gift is money. Eights are money magnets. But what's the dark side? Now, remember, the dark side is the opposite. So the opposite of having money is not having money. You see an eight. They ain't got no money. You see somebody who's misapplied their energy. So now for they disempower themselves, and if they latch on to you, they're going to disempower you. So instead of organized, they unorganized. Instead of being motivated, they unmotivated. Instead of being driven, them suckers are lazy. Why? That's the dark side of their giftedness. Last but not least is the number nine. The number nine, these people are on the planet. They're just like a six. Do you know that a nine is an upside down six, or six is an upside down nine? Nine and sixes are exactly the same. A nine is a humanitarian. A six is a compassionatarian. Them suckers are the same. They just express their caring in a different way. So a nine does the same thing as a six. A nine is a compassionate humanitarian. So what is the dark side? An abandonment disorder. That's me. Because I got the nine in my number. Piss me off, see what happens. I will abandon your ass in a minute. That's why nines run. See, a nine, the dark side of the nine is the fact that we have empathy and sympathy. In the dark side, apathy. So I went through all of that, all nine numbers, so that way you could pull out what your negative expression is. So that way these 10 aspects you can apply. When I put in the word care, you put in whatever word that is the dark side of your gift. The dark side of the gift is also the positive part of the gift. So the dark side of the gift, hey, if you're driven, that's positive and negative. That's an eight. You got empathy, that's positive and negative. That's a nine. If you got intelligence, that's a seven, positive and negative. If you got, again, caring, that's a six, positive and negative. Five, freedom, positive and negative. Four, that means that you have hardworking, you have dedication, positive and negative. Three, you're creative, positive and negative. Two, peacemaker, positive and negative. One, leader, positive and negative. So I'm going to use the word care. If you're one, use the word leader. If you're two, use the word peace. You're three, use the word creative. You're four, use the word hard worker. You're five, use the word freedom. You're six, use the word care. You're seven, use the word knowledge or intelligence. You're eight, use the word motivated or driven. You're nine, use the word empathy, sympathy. I'm going to use the word care. You use your word in these 10 statements. Number one, do not care, do not have not, do not care about wanting to cause harm. Now, what does that mean? Do not care about the fact that I may cause harm. So you should not care, or you should not knowledge, or you should not be creative, or you should not, whatever your word is, that's your strength, it's also your weakness. That's the dark side of your gift. So number one is, I am concerned, and the reason that I go out of my way is I don't want to accidentally cause discomfort. That is the biggest problem I got. Now, your problem is you don't want to accidentally, if you're seven, you don't want to accidentally educate. If you're nine, you don't want to accidentally be empathetic. If you're three, you don't want to accidentally be too creative. So I'm a six, so I don't want to accidentally cause discomfort in other people, so I care too much. So you don't want to accidentally cause somebody not to know something if you're seven, so you educate too much. You don't want to accidentally cause somebody not to experience success if you're three, so you are creative too much. You don't want to leave nobody behind if you're an eight, so you are driven too much. So you are doing your gift too much. So I'm aware of it. Now, remember, brothers and sisters, this is the art of selective gifting. I put in the word caring. I got to be selective as to how I apply my gifts, because I'm trying to apply it to everybody. I can't freaking save everybody. Some people are sent into my life as a freaking trap. The enemy knows, hey, this dude care about people. Let's send him a bunch of people who need help. So I'm like trying to save everybody. I was telling my wife this the other day. My wife is a four. So what does she want to do? She's dedicated and she's loyal. So she wants to. She sees work that needs to be done. Man, I look at my wife. She goes to church. My wife does everything in the church. Now, there ain't nothing wrong with that. I watch my wife, man. My wife, man, she works overtime, all the time at her job. Ain't nothing wrong with that. Last night, my wife went to sleep out cold till the alarm clock went out this morning. Why? She's dedicated. She works hard. She puts in a four-hour day. I got up every hour last night. I'm not a four. I'm a three. I'm up at night writing shit down on paper. Thoughts coming into my head. I jump up and write it down. That's what I got today's topic. It came in my head last night because I'm a three. That's really a six. And I'm over here talking for a whole hour, and I didn't get through the whole message because why? I care too much. I talk too damn much. This show I could have done in probably about 15 minutes. And I spent a freaking whole hour, and I still ain't finished. Why? Trying too damn hard. Breaking it down too much. Spending time going over and over, saying the same shit over and over again, so just getting to the damn point. People tell me, Doc, damn, man, bro, I like listening to your shows, bro. But, man, dude, can you get to the damn point? I'm a six. I'm trying to break it down for everybody instead of just breaking it down for the freaking people that God sends into my life. That's number one. So I cannot care about the fact that I care too much. I got to stop doing that. Number two. Do not care about your past, because it will stunt your future. Now, if you're a seven, do not intellectualize about the knowledge of your past, because it's going to prevent you from getting the knowledge in your future. If you're eight, do not be driven, or don't be concerned about how driven you were in the past or how you wasn't driven in the past, because it's going to prevent you from being driven in the future. So number two, for me, do not care about your past, because it stunts your growth. Do y'all understand that I agonize, I beat myself up about? Y'all heard the show? I'm over here talking about shows and talking about shows and talking about, what am I talking about? I always talk about my past. Now hear me bring it up. Talk about Sister X. Talk about how I got beat with a pad, with a metal rod. I talk about how I was raised in my childhood. Man, that shit is over with. Why am I still talking about it? That's the dark side of my gift. That's how the devil keep me trapped. That's the only way I can oscillate and vibrate. I'm spending too much time talking about the past, and I'm losing people who are interested in the present. I got to recognize my past. Yeah, it was important. I got to learn from my past because, sure, it's going to help shape my present and my future. But guess what? The past is in the freaking past. God has removed the sins from me as far as the east is from the west. So it's my job to realize that my past does not have power over my future. It's in the freaking past. It only has power if I give it power by thinking about it. Because you bring about what you're thinking about. So I'm thinking about the present, bump the past. I can't care about it. But see, guess what? I just spent a couple of $1,000s putting my wife in a damn apartment because she was homeless. I mean, my ex-wife in an apartment because she was homeless. Why? Somebody should put stupid on my forehead because I'm worried about the freaking past instead of taking care of the freaking present. Sometimes I wish some of these shows I was doing, I have to use myself as an example. I wish I could talk about y'all life, but my life is so whack. I ain't got time to be worried. But people come on my show and they say, hey, Brother Will, I get texted sometimes. People think that I'm talking about them. Come on, dog. Are you serious? Man, I ain't got time to be worried about your life. My black ass, it takes me 24 hours a day trying to focus on my own life. So nothing that I say on none of my shows has nothing to do with anybody but me. I'm the one with these issues. I just bring on the show. I just share it with you guys just in case somebody else may be going through the same thing. Number three. And we'll end with this one, and we'll pick up the other seven tomorrow. That's 10 things that we have to talk about when it comes to overcoming the dark side of your gift that's in the form of what we call caring. Number three, this is a big one for me. Don't care too much about what's going on in society. Don't, because for me, it leads to revenge. I will honestly tell you the honest to God truth. I cannot do black power stuff. I tell my wife, I can't watch Roots. I can't watch that Save a Nation movie. I can't really watch that movie like Get Out. I cannot watch racially inflammatory movies. Why? My brain sees injustice and revenge kicks in. This revenge, see, revenge is only exists in people who have low self-esteem. Revenge at its core means, somebody should write this down, because I had to slay this demon. Because I went through the whole Hebrew Israelites movement. Y'all don't understand. I got called by the Black Panther Party, the president of the Black Panther Party, the new Black Panther Party called me. He said, bruh, we want you. You talking our language. And it took everything, but it was only the grace of God who had me do is say, study melanin, study black power, and then go into no text, but go into your closet, get on your knees, and do some what I call mentalism or spiritualism. Now, this is how I solve problems. Somebody should write this down too. I don't use no text. I don't call no Reverend like the bishops. I don't consult with no gurus. I sit in silence and I ask the universe, I ask God, what should I do? Like I told my wife lost her, like I was telling you guys the other day. My wife called me and said, hey, babe, I lost my credit card. As soon as she said that in my brain, nothing verbally, I said in my brain, Father, where is her credit card? The thought popped into my head. It's in her clothes. Whatever she wore yesterday, that's where the card is at. I immediately went to the dirty clothes pen. I took out some black jeans that she wore yesterday. I put my hand in the pocket, and the card was in there. I do this every day, all day. And people ask me, Doc, how do you know what you know? How do you find all stuff? How do you find ancient texts? How do you find these hidden secrets? That's exactly how I do it. And people don't believe me. People think I have some freaking method, some methodology. I ask God, and he does what he said in his word. He says, ask, and it shall be given. Seek, you shall find. Knock, and the door shall be opened. That's exactly what I do. And it solves every freaking problem I have in my life. But guess what else? It actually creates problems, because the truth, it don't ask you, do you want to be free? The truth makes you free. So when I find out the truth, now this is dangerous, I'm telling you, don't ask the question that you don't want to know the answer for. Don't ask God the question, brother, because if you ask God, do this person like me? And the universe will tell you, you got to deal with it. So don't do this, as I'll tell you guys, don't do what I do, because what I do, all I did was ask God for the real thing, and he gave it to me. But unfortunately, when you ask God the truth, he's going to tell you the truth, and he's not going to tell nobody else because they're not asking. And I can go tell you what God told me, and you're not going to believe me because you don't want to know the truth, because you already got the truth. Everybody I know that got the truth, them suckers ain't looking. Challenge you to Well, I don't challenge you. I just challenge you to think about it first before you ask, seek, and knock. Because number three says, don't care about the evil that is going on in society. What? So you got a bad life. I care about the fact that you live in a bad life. I can't do that. Why? Because you want that bad life. That's your payoff. I'm telling you, as God, man, I wish it wasn't true. Because I see people, and my heart breaks. Because I see the little kids that are living with their mamas and their daddies, and their mama and daddy dumb as a box of rocks. Now, that was my life. Now I understand why my aunts and my uncles didn't invent or didn't engage. I was a little kid, and my uncles and my aunts knew that my mama, something wasn't right. Because any woman, I'm an adult right now. Let somebody freaking tie my kid up and freaking beat him with a pipe. They will find that fool with a bullet in his head. And my mama watched as that freaking lady did that to us. Now, my aunts and uncles knew what was going on. But now I understand why they didn't get involved. Now, if it had been me, I would have got involved, and I'd probably been shot in the head. Some things your behind should not get involved in, even though it's an evil. Even though it's wrong, you will not see my black ass marching at no freaking abortion clinic. Ain't my fight, bruh. That's not what I'm called to do. Now, if you want to go march, knock yourself out. You don't see me over there. I learned that now. 10 years ago, I've been the only Negro out there walking around saving the whales. Let's go freaking hug a tree. I was down for everybody. I wanted to freaking love everybody, man. I got freaking burned out. It's the grace and mercy of God I'm still here. This is not something you will learn at Harvard or Yale. This is real life, bruh. You won't hear this on Sunday morning. What I'm telling you is not something that I read of a book. I threw myself into things, and then I watched stuff on TV, and revenge and hate came up in me because I saw and I asked myself, how could one man do this to another man? I couldn't resist this revenge that kept coming up when I saw pedophiles. I saw grown men molesting little babies, and that did something to me, man. I wanted to hurt them dudes because I realized I got a baby. I can't, because then what makes me judge and jury? That's why God sent me to work in a supermax prison. Because I went to the supermax prison, and all them dudes I hated, I realized they were exactly like me. When I worked in a supermax prison, and I sat down, and I asked that dude, why did you kill and rape 30 people? He told me how his mother put cigarettes out on his back when he was a little kid. He told me how his own father chained him up like he was a freaking dog. He told me about his childhood, and it was exactly like mine. And I realized it was the grace and mercy of God is the only reason why I'm not in prison today. Because it didn't affect me on that level, but it could have. Before you judge, as the Bible says, ye who without sin cast the first stone. So now I don't understand why people march at abortion clinics, but I ain't going to go ride around and shoot them. I ain't going to go call them out their name. I'm going to ride by on my way to Walmart, go pick up my stuff from the grocery store, take my behind home, because that ain't my fight. I've learned the art of selective caring, brother. I've learned it. It was a hard lesson, very hard lesson. So that's number three. Tomorrow we'll knock out the other seven keys to getting out of your own way. Because right now I'm using the word caring, but depending on your life path, maybe caring is not your baby. If you are number one, it ain't caring. It's you headstrong, bruh. You're a leader. So when I use the word care, you got to use the word independence. That's what's killing you. Or should I say, not killing you, but limiting your success. Now remember, everybody's in the race. At least, let me give y'all a hand. At least you in the race, bruh. Give yourself a hand. You in the race. There's a lot of fools that ain't even in the race. They ain't even on the freaking team. But at least you're on the team. You got the track uniform on. You're on the track and you're running. Give yourself a hand. At least you're in the race, bro. At least you're in the race. This ain't no doom and gloom message. I don't do doom and gloom. Ain't nothing happening unless the big G gonna let it happen. And the big G says that his angels are gonna camp around about me. They're gonna no weapon formed against me shall prosper. All who rise up against me shall fall. So, but if God takes the enemy, for my good, I knew that. So I counted all joy when. I counted all joy when various trials and tribulations. Because I know anything that the devil can put on me, God can take off of me. Sorry, I suggest you hang out with that dude, the big G. Why? Because he will help you run the race so that way you can win. Tomorrow we're going to break down the other seven steps that's going to help you get out of your own way so that way you can operate as a peak performer in the areas of wealth, health, wisdom, and a positive relationship with God, with yourself, with your spouse, with your sharings, with the neighbor next door that you don't like. But you understand that he just in a different place than you. You ain't no better than him. You surely ain't no worse than him. You're just different. Because everybody got a different path. My brothers, my sisters, I am Dr. Will Rogers, a.k.a. Master Teacher 33. God bless you. His name is Yahuwah. May his son bless you. His name is Yahushua. And may the Ruach, instead of part one, continue to lead you and guide you in all truth. Because he will never, ever, ever manipulate or control you. And as always, my brothers, as always, my sisters, I will see you in eternity.
Y'all need to wake up now. But no, this ain't a pyramid scheme. Like the police, yeah, I'm still on the scene. After I murdered and flee reality, you wouldn't murder or flee. That's all truth if you heard it from me. Verbal or circle and seems firmly a virtue. Bring the world to its knees. So when I bless you, you should certainly sneeze. People don't purchase CDs, so I give it to them for free. Cause one bird in the house better than two in the tree. You still dreaming, thinking your career is something that's not. You kettle corn with something to pop. You still dreaming, pass the message if you run in the pot. Tell a mama hold it down and hold you up like all the traffic just stopped. It's like some people, it's like I let the sample sing to you. The truth is in the words, but it's all a dream to you. Or maybe your inception, Leonardo speak to you. DiCaprio tell you that you nice, snap out the actor, yo. You going us to get out of that shell like pistachios. So quit dreaming. quit dreaming. 1-2-1-2. Some dreams to dream, some dreams come true. A 1-2-1-2. Some dreams to dream, some dreams come true. You just, it's just, I see.
Still dreaming, man. Still dreaming.